He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a new week. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And this week will bring the end to the first quarter of, or the second quarter of 2022. And the sparks will start flying in a couple of weeks as companies start to report their earnings. Well, we had a huge rally in the market on Friday. The Dow was up 823. Some thought it was a bear market rally. Some think the market has bottomed. We'll be discussing that here today. But for now, we have got the Dow down 19 points, okay? The Dow is down 19 points so far out of the gate. The S&P 500 is down 3 points out of the gate. And the NASDAQ is down about 31 points so far out of the gate. So it's digesting some of its big gains here from Friday and from last week, really. And there's a lot of people out there weighing in on what last week was. Bear market rally or a bottom? We'll see what they're saying. We've got crude oil down 80 cents at 106.82, but I have noticed that the energy stocks were off to a good start so far this morning. They got beat up here the last, maybe 6 or 7 days. Gold's down 40 cents to 1830. silver up 16 cents, 21.28. The 10-year, 3.15, and that's another thesis for the big rally last week as we had dropping interest rates and we had dropping oil prices. But is that just a temporary situation? Therein lies the key. Another risk asset here, Bitcoin, not doing well today. It's down 2.7%. It's down $579 to $20,008 a week. So that's how we begin a new week. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 23 years as a professional money manager and behind the microphone. And I've got Barry Kite with me here again today, chartered financial analyst. And the big question, Barry, on everybody's mind, did the market put in a bottom last week? Is it safe to go back in the water to get fully invested once again? Or was that more of a bear market rally?
Well, at least we've got two feet, right? We got, you can put a toe in. If that toe doesn't, gets bitten off, we can get one more toe to put in on the other side, right? But it's certainly been, I think that sideways pattern that you kind of mentioned is kind of really what I envision. You've got, if you look at Bitcoin's been really interesting because it's been a great, kind of a great, indication of appetite for risk, right? And you have a day, lately you have, and the other thing is it's trading all the time. So, it's negative today, which kind of shows a little bit of sentiment in the market. And we actually got a couple of good pieces of economic news, which I think, as we mentioned lately, good economic news is going to be, likely mean, a tick up in interest rates and probably the equity markets going down. So
that's right.
Got a couple of interesting numbers this morning that we can get to in a bit.
Yes. And, like that, you mentioned that bottom. I don't see it yet, if the market came storming back here, it would be a V-shaped recovery like we had in 2020. But in 2020, we had really one factor there, and it was COVID, and the market built that in very, very quickly and saw a way out of COVID, and the market did make a huge V-shaped recovery. This time around, though, we have several different factors. We have persistent inflation. We have the Fed on the war path, which they weren't in 2020. We had no inflation in 2020. And we still have those supply chain constraints, which I've been reading lately that it's the supply side that's really creating the inflation. It's the goods not being there. It's too many people chasing too few goods. And I don't see that being fixed yet. And in addition to that, we're on the cusp of an earnings season that will start in a couple of weeks. And I think for the first time ever, or not ever, but in a long, long time, I'm not expecting a lot of companies to beat earnings this time around. And in aggregate, we're looking for 4.3% growth over the same quarter last year. That's pretty meager. And I think there's downside risk to that also. So I'm not seeing a V-shaped recovery in the market. I would note that, you know, unbelievably, Warren Buffett, his Berkshire Hathaway, he's lost one-fourth of his value, a little over one-fourth of the value of Berkshire Hathaway has disappeared since late March. I mean, that's a three-month period of time. He's down 26%.
And he's in a lot of different stuff. And it's so, I mean, yeah. Some of that probably has, you know, I know for a while there, right, is kind of in those transportation names and some commodity names.
Which railroads.
Probably. Yeah, probably could be it. And to your point, in terms
banks,
of
banks, not good.
Yeah. And to your point, talking about supply, in the durable goods orders for May, I noticed, you know, unfilled orders for manufactured durable goods rose 0.3%. Those unfilled orders total $1.11 trillion.
Holy cow.
And it's risen for 21 consecutive months. So that tells you that there's, you know, it's not necessarily a demand issue. It's orders going unfilled.
Yeah, it's supply.
And that's a supply side.
Yes, period. And, you know, another, just looking around, I don't know if it's a labor shortage or what, but the airlines have had a horrible run here over the last couple of weeks with all kinds of flights being canceled. They're now kidding that a staycation is sleeping overnight in the airport after your flight's been canceled.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and then, of course, you got the July 4th holiday coming up, and that's usually a big travel time. So,
okay, so you mentioned durable goods. That came in better than expected. It could have been even better, you know, if we'd got some of those orders filled.
Still,
I've been waiting for a door. Not that I'm driving around without a door, you know, on my car, but I have a little neck in it from a tangle with the parking garage downtown, a very poorly designed one, I might say. I've been waiting for 3 months now, and no word whatsoever. The supply chain is really, it's messed up. Almost anywhere I go, you know, people, we waited for a part for our ice maker for 3 months.
Oh, my parents. Yeah, my parents bought a car recently. It'll be here in 2.5 months.
That's just ridiculous, okay? Well, okay, Morgan Stanley, I wrote my newsletter over the weekend, and I called last week's big gain in the market a bear market rally. I witnessed a lot of bear market rallies in the year 2000, which can be really, really damaging to one's portfolio, you know. The NASDAQ got up to 5,300, and before it was over, it was down around 1,200, okay? That was 2000, 2001. And along the way, I can't tell you how many times the dot-com stocks rallied and people got sucked back in, and then they saw more new lows. You repeat that cycle a few times, and you're down 60, 70, 80% in your portfolio. So I don't know. I felt like last week's rally, just looking at it from a technical point of view, which that was the picture at the top of the newsletter. I said, do you see a bottom here? I still see a pretty bad downtrend, and it would not surprise me to see last week's gains disappear and hit a new. That's been the pattern all year long, unless we're ready to break that pattern. Now, I do have fairly good company today, Morgan Stanley. They said easing rates and oil pressure are providing short-term relief for the stock market. So that's what they're crediting for last week's rally. But they say they're an indication more of growth worries than an inflation peak. They see the recent rebound in equities as another bear market rally that could rise another 5 to 7% in the best case scenario. But they don't believe that that was the bottom of the market here. They think the S&P 500 bottoms near 3,400 to 3,500. And, of course, the S&P right now, 3,400 to 3,500. I'm looking for the S&P to come around here. Where's it at? 3,800, something like that right now?
3,901.
Okay, 3,900. So they think there's another 400 to 500 points down from here before it starts to level off. So we'll see who's right. But I'm going to keep my inverse funds, my hedges, in the water for now. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Nasdaq's gone a little further south here since we started. It's now down 76 points. The S&P, however, well, it's down 7 right now, and the Dow's down 14. So we're not following through, at least not yet, on Friday's rally. Russia defaults on foreign debt for the first time since 1918. Now, I don't know how many U.S. banks have exposure to Russian debt. I don't like the bank sector at all. It's one of the worst-looking sectors in the entire market. And I would say that's a big part of, you know, why Warren Buffett's been down recently. But he's done just fine over the long haul. Okay, don't forget. But I'm not a fan of the bank stocks, and I know he has quite a bit of heavy exposure there after a 30-day grace period expired for the country to disperse two Eurobond interest payments. Russia has defaulted on its foreign debt for the first time since the Bolshevik Revolution. It's largely symbolic, given that the Kremlin has enough money to pay off the debt, but it's barred from doing so because of the heavy Western sanctions leveled on the government. Last month, the U.S. Treasury Department effectively blocked Moscow from making the payments after letting a sanctions loophole expire that had previously allowed it to transfer cash to debt holders via American banks. All right, well, we'll see what happens there. Okay, a lot of money taken out of the market last week. I got to say, Bear, I was just thinking, you know, we haven't had anybody call us and say, hey, I want to be fully invested right now. Conversely, we've had a few say, I don't want to have any exposure right now. I want out entirely.
Yeah, or we've had somewhere that said, my current advisor has me fully invested. What are you guys doing? And yes. Of course, you know, we're fairly still cautious, really.
Yes. Well, look, I mean, even Warren Buffett down 26% since March. That's really bad. I looked at a lot of mutual funds over the weekend, and I would say that the average dividend and income funds down anywhere from 15 to 20% so far this year. And I would say the average large cap growth fund is down 25 to 30% so far this year. So I got to believe a lot of people that are in the growth with the growth managers that stay fully invested, they got to be down somewhere in that neighborhood. Investors retracted $20 billion in fund assets last week. The most money coming out of the bond funds, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, they had a little bit of a leveling off last week. Interest rates went up last week, or went down last week, and oil prices came down, but not for good reasons. Okay, the reasons were because they're starting to more and more fear a recession, and that's why you saw oil prices come down. So that's not a good sign for the markets and the economy. And yet the market rallied. You know, oh boy, go, oil prices are finally falling. This will boost the economy, and interest rates are finally falling. This will help real estate. But the reasons that they fell are not healthy reasons, would be my argument. Taxable bond funds watched $11.2 billion exit the door last week. And let's see what else. The energy spider saw outflows that totaled $1.1 billion, although energy is kind of having a good day today. And a lot of the indexes saw outflows last week. So I would just say the overall mood out there is still pretty pretty bad, just talking to individual investors. 2022 is shaping up to be the summer of flight disruption. Now, why is that? Chances are you have experienced delays if you've been to an airport recently. Things don't look like they'll be getting better anytime soon as airlines and the FAA point fingers at each other ahead of the best busy July 4th weekend. Well, isn't that, that's our transportation secretary, which I think is Pete Buttigieg right now. The U.S. air carriers observed staffing challenges at the Air Traffic Control, FAA, and that's led to travel traffic restrictions under blue sky conditions. So I don't know.
They're taking a beating, from the administration in terms of headline risk. Oil companies are taking a beating on from headline risk.
Yes.
I guess it seems a passing of some of the blame, really, is what it kind of,
Sounds to me like staff shortages is the bottom line, that they have not returned from, a lot of the staff. Severe staff shortages is what this article says.
Well, and more people, they're opening up their schedule. More and more people are wanting to book. The airline industry has always tended to be that's an overbooked business anyway.
Yes.
In reality, they can't really have too many empty seats, so they purposely overbook. And that model, doesn't work quite as well, especially if you don't have enough people, right?
I can't remember the last time I got on an airplane that wasn't fully, we're fully booked today.
Yes. Check your bag. If you don't have, limited overhead,
put your kid under your seat.
Right.
That's kind of monkeypox. We dodged a bullet so far. The World Health Organization, ruled out emergency status. Now, I talked to someone here the other day that just recently got COVID here in Mount Pleasant, came down with COVID. So I guess it's still floating around. One more company leaving California. I can't believe they're still there. Chevron, which has been headquartered in the Bay Area, San Ramon, for ever. They're going to downsize in California and move there. They're going to sell their California headquarters, and they're going to move workers to Texas. So Texas seems to be on the receiving end of companies leaving California for one reason or another. Berkshire Hathaway shares bounced from a 52-week low as portfolio takes a hit. Well, Apple, you know what? No stock has been immune. Apple's taken a big hit here recently. Bank of America looks terrible. American Express looks terrible. These are some of his holdings. At least right now they do. Coca-Cola, on the other hand, holding up pretty well. Chevron's taken a hit. Occidental has taken a hit. So you look at that chart. That's a 26% drop from $362 per share at the beginning of April to $279, and that works out to a 26% drop over the last 1, 2, 3 months, okay? All right, when we come back, there's still a lot to talk about. Is inflation behind us? Have we peaked? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just looking through the leadership in the market today, there's really only one sector that is shining pretty brightly today, and that's the energy sector, the oil and gas sector, energy, the shippers, the shipping stocks, etc. That's your leader. And, of course, that's an area that's been sold off here recently. Okay, now let's take a look at a few other big stories here today. Yeah, there's a lot of people questioning this whole soft landing idea. There was hope that maybe we'd get a little more relief at the gas pump, but it doesn't sound like Biden's gas tax holiday is going anywhere. That would have taken 18 cents per gallon off of the gasoline price. But it's being slammed by criticism on all sides, not only the oil industry. They say that will increase demand for gasoline and put the pressure on the upside. That's fellow Democrats feel the same way about it. And, of course, the Republicans think it's a gimmick. So we don't think it's going to go anywhere. Says this particular RBC Capital analyst. And, you know, I've noticed that around here, we went down for about a week, about 20 cents, and we're right back up to where we were before. Of course, you got the 4th of July.
That's a big one.
Coming along, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on demand, so we'll see where we go from here. But it's up around $5 a gallon nationwide. And here's more on that supply side. Supply driven inflation spells trouble for the Fed's soft landing wish. So unless they can get the supply chain, I mean, everywhere you look, I'm saying it's workers, mostly lack of workers seems to be the problem, and that's creating the supply issue.
Well, and there's been seems no incentive to expand. I mean, I think I've read one, a couple of weeks ago, I read one article about, finally there was, an Arkansas lumber mill, right, that was finally, expanding capacity. And the problem here is a lot of this stuff has gotten offshore to other places. I mean, for, lumber, for, milling, for example, right, is up in, it's moved a lot, to Canada. And, of course, they were hit, hard by stricter COVID rules so couldn't get lumber to us. Plus, we were in the housing boom and, so you had lumber prices going through the roof. Normal economics, right, you either create incentives to expand or companies expand, right, capacity, and then and then that ends up kind of offsetting that supply demand mismatch. But you haven't seen supply ramp up, and I just don't really feel like from a policy standpoint, right, and this is U.S. and around the globe, it just doesn't seem like the incentives have been put in place to get companies to expand for whatever reason.
Yeah, and, the Fed can't fix the supply chain problem. I mean, that takes, a congressional committee to come together with CEOs of companies and to come up with a plan. And I have not even seen this problem addressed whatsoever as far as trying to fix it. And there just seems to be like a lot of bumbling going on and no help whatsoever, no plan, no discussions of how to fix it. It almost like, I don't know, it's just really, really weird how it just continues. And COVID is long in our rearview mirror here. I mean, all the people that were working before COVID back in 2019, they should surely be back to work by now. And things should be back to normal. But I still see car lots with no cars on them. I still go into grocery stores where there's empty shelves. It's just really weird, this whole mess that we're in. The abortion ruling could benefit contraception sales, okay? Raymond James calls out Perrigo, P-R-G-O. If you want to be an investor there, I'm sure there's ways to play the whole. You know, that decision came down Friday, well, right in the middle of our show while we were doing the show. I looked up and said, what? Because that is a massive, major decision. We were expecting it, but at the same time, we weren't quite sure. Tesla, NIO, Rivian estimates reeled in at Mizuho. Well, you know what? It's affecting everybody. You saw Elon Musk complaining about not being able to get the supplies that he needs. And so they're reeling in. Now, the Chinese EV makers have been one of the bright spots in the market here recently. But now you've had some recent shutdowns in China. And Mizuho is citing what we've been talking about, supply chain constraints. So Mizuho is lowering their estimates for Tesla, for Rivian, for NIO. That's a Japanese investment bank, Mizuho. And they explain that Shanghai's key place as a manufacturing hub for Tesla stands to significantly hurt its second quarter earnings results, which brings up another subject here as to why, you know, I think a cautious stance on the market is warranted right now. I think because of the supply chain issue, which is mentioned almost daily, I think you're going to see more and more companies, more than normal. In fact, possibly a lot more than normal, warn and lower expectations during this earnings season, which begins in a couple of weeks. Now, you know, we've been running at about an 80% clip of companies beating their earnings estimates. And, you know, we'll start out the quarter expecting like 8% growth for the quarter and finishing up at actual growth of 15%. So the vast majority of companies beating their earnings estimates and guiding higher. And in aggregate, those S&P 500 growth rates coming in much better than expected. But I think we're vulnerable in this coming earnings season. We haven't seen a lot. We've only seen a few companies so far really warning. But I think it's going to be a touch-and-go earnings season. With, you know, you always have your disasters. Last time around, Netflix was a big disaster. Amazon was a big disaster. Target was a disaster. Walmart was a disaster. Ross Stores was a disaster. I think you're going to see more this time than we saw last time, which also leads me to just be a little bit, you know what? Now, within the market, there's individual stocks. I think it's really become a stock picker's market where you've got to go deep and do a deep dive. The app helps me a lot, you know, ferreting out those very quickly, ferreting out those stocks that are doing well in what overall is a downtrending market. I mean, the market is in a downtrend. Look at my newsletter from Friday, and you'll see. If you didn't get the newsletter, we did a lot of commentary on the market, last week in the newsletter. You can go to GundersonCapital.com.
Well, you just got to be careful. Like, take Rivian, for example. It's funny that Rivian was included in that note about, you know, reduction in estimates. I mean, Rivian's, their delivery expectations were cut from 4,200 to 3,900 vehicles.
I mean, that's a big cut.
And it's, that's not, and you got to think they're only cranking 3,900 off of the assembly line, right? I mean, that's a, you know, it's not like a NIO, which is cranking 24 to 23,000 off, right? It's not like Tesla, who's rolling a lot of those cars off. I mean, Rivian is still very, very new, and you just got to be careful with, you know, with the company that you talk about. You think Tesla's having burning? Remember, he called those one places burn, you know, cash furnaces.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, with Rivian, the whole place has to be a cash furnace because, I mean, you're only cranking that many cars off. And you're running an entire company. I mean, it's not an easy space.
You don't want a bunch of guys, factory workers or employees, sitting around because there's no parts. While we're waiting on a part, some of these parts, and then you ask them. I mean, we called many times on the part they need for my car. They had no answer. I mean, no answer whatsoever. Not good. All right, when we come back, I do see some stocks jumping off the page here that I will alert you to in the final segment of the show. This is the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, just looking at the S&P 500, okay, the leaders. Here's your leaderboard, okay? Number one, Peabody Energy. That's coal. Number two, Devon Energy. That's gas. Number three, Technic. FTI, I believe that's a oil and gas, yeah. That's an oil and gas company. Number four, Piedmont Lithium. That's another form of energy. Number five, Marathon. Number six, Valero. Number seven, Noble Energy. Number eight, Hess. Number nine, Neighbors Industry. Number 10.
A lot of refiners there.
Oh, boy, EOG. Number 11, Halliburton. Number 12, Murphy Oil. And then you've got Diamondback Energy, Enphase, which is solar, Pioneer. It's 100%. I mean, you don't get to a non-energy stock until you get, wow, where is the first non-energy stock? Old Dominion Freight Lines is up 2%. That's a trucking company. And Qorvo is a semiconductor, up 1.9%, but all... Most of the energy stocks are up 3 to 10% here so far today. So that's definitely where the leadership is in the market to start this new week. Well, a couple of stocks I'm going to bring to your attention here. The solar, you know, it's obvious that they're going to double down and run with solar as much as they possibly can, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide. But there's been a big problem in solar. There hasn't been the solar panels that they need to. It takes a lot of solar panels. You know, one of the reasons, the main reason is that you had those tariffs on the solar, which is very controversial, obviously. I mean, DQ, is in that area of China where they claim that they've got the Uyghur Muslims in slave labor camps putting together solar panels. And, you know, I mean, they sent the... kind of weird. The United Nations, they sent a representative to investigate, and she just kind of came back and smoothed things over, and she said, well, I didn't really see any evidence of it. But she never went to the places where the prison camps are and the labor camps are. It's almost like China paid her off or something to be kind with her report. It was really very strange. So anyways, I mean, so there's a trade-off there. On the one hand, they want solar, and they want a lot of it, and China seems to be the most well-equipped to provide it. So as far as I know, Biden for now has taken the tariffs off. And so now you're seeing Daco Energy, which was one of our biggest winners back in 2020, DQ. It's not Dairy Queen, DQ. That thing's exploding to the upside. It's up 7.6% on six times normal volume. Now, that tells me, you know, they had a little big get-together and powwow over the last several days called the G7, the seven heads. of the biggest economies. That's the seven biggest economies in the world. And I'm sure that, you know, this was one of their major subjects, and that's why you're seeing such a big move in the solar stocks today. So DQ up 7.3% today, and Jinko, which is another Chinese, they make the wafers and the cells and the modules in that same area in China. I think it's called, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Zhejiang.
I'm letting you attack that one.
Boy, yeah. The Zhejiang province in China where, I mean, we have surveillance videos of them, total labor camps and, you know, re-education camps. These people kneeling down with blindfolds. It's really ugly.
Well, and yeah, and they, I mean, and then what, we were just reduced the tariffs, remember, on on the solar panels from China to help to help kind of get some projects moving along here.
So, I mean, in the meantime, these stocks are breaking out. What can I say? And on the other side of that coin is, you know, last week, Darren Wood, who's the CEO of Exxon, I mean, he warned that, you know, you better slow down a little bit because we don't have the solution right now if we're going to go to an all, carbon-free economy. We're going to get into a lot of trouble with rising prices on the fossil fuel side. And I think that's why you're seeing this big move in oil and gas today. That's one of the reasons why I've been invested in it here in 2022, is because it just is common sense. It's just logic. I'm just applying logic. If you're going to, do everything you can to stop new drilling and new exploration, and these companies, they don't want to invest in big projects anymore because they don't know if they'll get the approvals and whatnot. And so that's going to continue to drive up the price of the fossil fuels. And that's what's happening today. And the solar's moving. So I think you got to invest in everything energy. I even saw the nuclear, and it doesn't look as good as solar and oil and gas, but like UEC, uranium energy and whatnot, because there's a lot of them now going back to nuclear power plants. Germany's an interesting case. They are being totally shut off from Russia, and they continue to shut down their nuclear power plants. They're decommissioning them all, and they want to go carbon free. But in the interim, they got to have something. So they've been firing up their coal-fired plants, which is another good investment right now. The coal companies. I noticed that metallurgical coal was having a big day today. So we're kind of back to where we were a couple weeks ago with tech selling off and the energy stocks leading the way. Okay, well, that's day one of this week in the books of the Best Stocks Now show. We'll continue to be watching this. I'm going to go through a lot of charts today. I think there's a lot of individual opportunities out there. We named several here during the show. If you'd like to get last week's newsletter with my current take on the overall market, go to GundersonCapital.com. You get 2 free weeks. And if you want that portfolio review, you're worried, go to GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.